Okay, today we're going to continue our discussion on the letters of the Aleph-Bays. We are up to the letter Kuf. We only have four letters left. Ooh, good question. Then what is a good question? We'll see. We'll see. We have to then do the ABC.
After this, we go to Cyrillic.
Okay, we'll do the Greek letters of the alphabet. Let's go. Let's start with a pasuk. Probably the most significant kuf that is different in size than all the other kufs in the Torah is the word that Tomer Rivka El Yitzchak Katzti B'Chayai B'Bnei B'No Eschitz. I do not believe this is in our tradition. Do we do this in our tradition? We do. Yeah, the kuf is a large kuf.
There's a small kuf.
So small kuf. We do have a small kuf in our Sefer Torah. Yeah, we do? Okay. So, because a lot of these letters, some we do, some we don't. It's brought down in many midrashim, but even though it's brought down in midrashim, it's not necessarily that it's our custom in our times to follow the tradition, but this is, you're telling me, is one of the letters which indeed we do follow. We have a small kuf in the word katzti b'chayai. So why is that so? What is the significance? There are other handful letters of kufs that are small. I don't think we follow them in our tradition in Nevi'im, and there are very few commentators that explain why it's so. But this one is, there is a lot of attention given to this kuf in Katzti B'Chayai B'Bnei B'Nos Ches. Now, one of the reasons given touches upon a very controversial approach to why there are small and large letters in the Torah. Last week we discussed the simplest reason why you'll have a large letter. Not because of a medrash, not because of a halacha. Just don't make a mistake. The sefer that writes the letter, make sure he does not make a mistake and writes the wrong letter. The classic example was Hashem Eloheinu Hashem Echad. There's a very small difference between a resh and a dalit. A dalit, the way we write it today, there is a more of a significant difference, but that's all hidurim in the ksiva of ksava shuris. But in the ikar hadin, you can write a dalit and a resh almost exactly the same. The only difference being is the corner, the top corner, the right corner, is it round or is it square? So in order that no one, the sefer, should not chas v'shalom make a mistake and write Hashem Elokim Hashem Acher. So there's a very large, we make a very large dalet. Very similar. No midrashim. Don't come on to these midrashim of aid and what the dalet stands for, the four corners of the world. Simple. The sofer should not make any mistake. I gave you another example of Ashrecha Yisrael Michamocha. It's not our tradition, but it's brought down in many, many midrashim that the aleph of Ashrecha Yisrael on Simchas Torah, Ma'inim Elokei Kedem, is a large aleph. Why is it a large aleph? So one of the simplest reasons is that when the sefer writes sefer Torah, you should make a mistake in writing with an ayin. Then it would mean Ashrecha Yisrael, that Moshe is saying that Klal Yisrael is very rich. I'm giving you a bracha for Ashirus, for wealth. Aisha with an ayin means wealth. Chas v'shalom, that's kfira. It doesn't mean that you're rich. It means you're happy. You are fortunate. And that's why you write it with an aleph. So this is an approach. And this approach, there are many other examples, which I don't have in front of me, but there are many other examples that the reason why you have large letters in the Sefer Torah has nothing to do with Midrashim, with Mamari Chazal, with these obscure Kabbalistic reasons. It's very simple, just in order that the scribe who copies the Torah should not make a horrible mistake, like Echad, Acher, Ashrecha, Alephai. Now, following along this approach, there is an idea that is brought down by some of the more controversial Mefarshim, why you have small letters. And they write that it used to be the custom in ancient times when a scribe would copy a text, if the last letter of a word is the same as the first letter of the next word, you only write the letter once. For example, this would be an example. The example is Yitzchak Katzti. The pasuk reads, "Vatomer Rivka El Yitzchak Katzti V'Chayai B'Bnei B'No Scheitz." I jumped already. "Vatomer Rivka El Yitzchak Yud Tzadi Ches Kuf Katzti." Two kufs. The last letter of Yitzchak is a kuf, and the first letter of Katzti is a kuf. So it was the custom of scribes, let's say this was not a Sefer Torah, to omit the second kuf. So if you were writing, let's say, a secular document, you would write Vatoma Rivka al Yitzchak, then you would just write Tzadi Tav Yud. you'd leave out, why should you waste ink? Why should the sofer go through the effort of writing another letter where the letter already is there? That was the style of writing. And so, then what happened, it appears that people in later generations or later point in time were not as sophisticated, and they got confused. Yitzchok Sati? What does that mean? So for the more sophisticated reader, the more sophisticated person, they're familiar with the text, and they only need one kuf, and that one kuf can serve for both. You're dealing with minds that are very advanced, right? But for the average person, so people then got very disturbed, and they went back to the text, because not everyone was such a genius, and they wanted to put in another kuf. Problem is, there's no room, because the scribe did not leave enough room for the second letter. So he put a little letter. So this was a custom that was done in secular documents, or documents, not necessarily secular, but documents that were not Kisvei Kodesh. Another example, Vayikra El Moshe. Beginning of Chumash Vayikra, the small aleph, probably one of the most famous small alephs, which probably has one of the most midrashim and the most memari chazal coming to explain why there's a small aleph. So they want to say, put aside all of the midrashim, we're dealing with the volumes, encyclopedias worth of midrashim, put it aside. You know why there's a small aleph? Because it's El, Vayikra El Moshe. So the ancient scribes were just, we have two letters which are the same letter, the last and the first letter in the word. You omit one letter, and the sophisticated reader right away understands that last letter is the first letter of the next word. But then when people got a little bit less sophisticated, they wanted to add in that letter, so they inserted a small, there wasn't enough room, so they inserted a small little aleph. So some want to say, now maybe when it comes to Vayikra El Moshe, maybe you don't want to say that, because since we do have a tradition, there's such a heavy duty tradition of Midrashim, of the Anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu, who why wrote a small aleph? Okay, so maybe there it's not such a good answer. But some want to say very simple, Katzti B'chayai is an error, or not an error, it's something which crept into the Torah from the style of writing from ancient times, where when you have a letter that is repeated, the second letter was omitted, and somehow when they wrote Sefarim, it was omitted, and then when it was put back inside, there wasn't enough space, so they put a small kuf, and then as they copied from Sefer to Sefer, it became the custom to have a small little kuf. Okay, that's an approach. That is discussed. Many of the traditional commentators thoroughly reject this. They're very, very traumatized with such double and big. Okay, they're big, so maybe when it's big, it's different. But small is, you know, they're different categories. There's large and small. So, but it's just something to keep in mind. It's very interesting discussing the letters of the Aleph and the Sefer Torah, large and big. It's a whole different approach to understand why there may be a small letter. It's something which seemingly was done in secular documents. Oh, you have a lot of repetition. Yeah, all over Tanakh, but we don't do it. That's part of the proof that it's not correct. All over, exactly. But we don't. All over Tanakh, you have this. We don't do this. So why here would it be done? Maybe famous psukim, it's not clear. But this is an idea that is definitely discussed, and most of the commentators, they thoroughly reject it. Even to the degree where they'll call it apikorsis. But it is brought down. It is discussed. There's something you should know about, to be aware of, this interesting idea. So what then would be the medrash, would be the significance of why we have a small kuf in the word katzdi b'chayai? So many of the mafarshim say that this refers to, opens up our first idea about the letter kuf, it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, Masechta Midos, Masechta Yoma, had the dimensions are 100 wide, 100 long, and 100 tall. The kuf, you know, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. The kuf, we're going to see in a moment, has to do with kedusha. The Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate place of kedusha, and the Beis HaMikdash, the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash are 100 by 100 by 100. Now, it was not a cube because the back was more narrow than it was wide. But the ulam, the front of the Beis HaMikdash, was 100 amos wide, and then shortly thereafter it got more narrow, but at least the front is 100 wide. According to the Rambam, though, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that it was 100, it was a box. It was 100 wide, not like all the pictures that you see in all the books. All the pictures that we see in the Masechta Yoma, Masechta Midos, are more, well, the front is very wide, then it gets narrow in the back. That's according to the Teferes Yisrael. That's according to the major commentators. But the Rambam, today there are a lot of Svarim that already have models of what the Beis HaMikdash looked like for the Rambam, which is very different. Very different in many, many ways. Everything is different. And according to the Rambam, Nechanami was a square. It was one large square. It was 100 wide, 100 long, and 100 tall. So that's really al piderach drush. That's kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. The three different kufs. So why is there a small kuf in the pas katzdi lichayel mibnei benos chetz? Because Rivka, now when she is reflecting upon her son Esav, she knows that Esav is going to be the one that's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Titos is Edom. Edom, the bias region was Babel, but the bias sheni. We're referring here to the bias sheni of Titos, Titos from the nation of Edom, a descendant of Esav, would be the one that would diminish the kuf. Katzti b'chayai mibnei b'nos cheis, imlokech Esav mibnos cheis, lama lichayim. Okay, it's discussing the b'nos cheis. Why are we connecting it to Esav? I think it's Esav married from the b'nos cheis. It's not 100% clear, but this is discussed that the kuf, the small kuf, alludes to the diminishment of the Beis HaMikdash, which is a structure of kuf. And I really like that idea more than the drush itself. It tells us, what is the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is a triple kuf. Kuf, kuf, kuf. 100 tall, 100 wide, 100 long, and Rivka here is already mourning that Esav is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's another reason given, another medrash, which is very appropriate for what we're learning in Ezra. We're going to learn tomorrow. I thought we would do it today when Ezra comes to Eretz. We'll do the next parak test. When Ezra comes to Eretz Yisrael, when he arrives on scene, he discovers intermarriage, and he goes berserk. He goes, he wouldn't believe, he can't deal with it. And the truth is, there were only 113 people intermarried. It wasn't like it was widespread. There were 42,360 people who made Aliyah. And then he brought in another 1,700 people. So how many people already intermarried? 113 over 43,000 people? Not so bad. Today in America, intermarriage rate is 50%. More than 50%.
Somewhere in the 70 to 80%.
Wow.
United States. We're not talking about Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's the United States.
70-80%. Wow. But Ezra, we're dealing with 113 people from 43, even more, because the population grew since the time when they first made Aliyah 25 years ago, time of Koresh. So they're dealing with at least 43,000 people, only 113 of them intermarried. And Ezra views this as the end of the world, literally, the end of the world. So Mefarshim, I think there's a Rokeach, this is that Rivka saw that the time would come where the Benos Ches would one day intermarry with Klal Yisrael. Rivka says that I cannot allow my son Yaakov to marry one of the daughters of Benos Ches, which basically means the goyim of the world. It would be considered intermarriage in her eyes. And she realizes that unfortunately the day will come when there will be intermarriage in the time of the Bayis Sheni, and because of the intermarriage, that's why there's going to be a Churban Bayis Sheni, which is very difficult, because that's not what Chazal say. Chazal said the reason why the Bayis Sheni was Schar was because of Sinas Chinam. So where all of a sudden does this come in? It's a very interesting marriage. You know, a lot of Midrashim are lost us. That's one of the things they found in the Gnees in Afghanistan. They found Midrashim and Piyutim that we have no record of. Things that we never saw before. And that's true, it's brought down there. Every so often there are piyutim or mamari chazal that say things, and we have no source anywhere in our collection of midrashim and mamari chazal that tell us as a fact that this thing is true. And many of the commentators say that the answer is there are midrashim which are authentic that have been lost from us. And we just don't have, we don't have anymore, they've been lost. And in the Gnees in Afghanistan, they found some things that we never seen before. So there is such a medrash, there is such a chazal, that the reason why the Bayis Sheni was Chorav was because of intermarriage. That would fit very well with Ezra. Ezra comes up to the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni is operational. It's already been about 2 years, a year and a half since the Chanukah Sabayis, and he sees this intermarriage, and he goes out of his mind. According to the Medrash, it makes sense why he went out of his mind, because that intermarriage would one day, 420 years down the line, would lead to its destruction. Rivka is already mourning for this now. Rivka here is dealing with an issue of intermarriage. I have a child, Yaakov. No way am I going to let him marry one of the girls from the Benos Ches, from this the land. He has to go back to Lavan to find the daughter. He's not going to marry a girl from over here. But I realize that now I'm in control. I can tell him what to do. But there's going to come a time when I'm not in control. And my children, my descendants, are going to intermarry with the Benos Ches. And when they do intermarry, then there's going to be Churban. And the Kuf, the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, will be diminished. And the Beis HaMikdash, which is defined as the Kuf, the triple Kuf, 100 by 100 by 100, will be diminished, will be destroyed. So there, another interesting approach brings that intermarriage, Benos Ches, all hidden to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Fits very good with Ezra, with Ezra going out of his mind over the intermarriage that he sees in the Bayis Sheni, all hidden in this little kuf that we find in this pasuk. Another reason given why this is a small kuf, this is an incredible medrash, is because she really couldn't care less about the Benos Ches. She sees over here the Benos Ches. She tells, what was Rivka afraid? That Esav would murder her other son. She knows that Yaakov stole the Bechira because of her, and Esav wants to take revenge, so she wants Yaakov to run away from Esav. So she makes up a Baba Maisa. She says to Yitzhak, you know, Katzti Bechayai Mibnei Benos Ches, it's time for a Shidduch. I don't want him to hang out with these girls here. Let him go back to my father. Maybe he'll find my brother, to Lavan, he'll find there a Shidduch. So what's this katzi b'chayai? A small kuf. The reason why it's a small kuf is indicating this was not her real agenda. Her real agenda was not katzi b'chayai, b'nos chetz. The real agenda is, I'm afraid Esav is going to kill Yaakov. I don't want to tell you this. I don't want to give you tzar. And therefore, to indicate that that's so, we make the letter small. Okay, that's another idea given. Another reason given why there's a small kuf is, this is going to come to a new idea, which we'll come to in a few moments, is that kuf is also kuf, is a monkey. Now let's right away digress and discuss this concept. Why is kuf called a kuf? So one of the drushim, the popular drushim about the letter kuf is the ois of sheker, of a falsehood. Why is the kuf represent the content of sheker? Because the kuf comes all the way down. It is the only letter in the Aleph Beis, only the primary letters, not the end letters. I'm discussing the end letters, the end nun, the end pay, the end sadi. But from the primary letters, the kuf is the only letter whose leg extends below the shura, lower than the margin. And in fact, the Gemara says that sheker does not have legs. It's very delicate. It's hanging on the kuf. The kuf is it's only a singlet, it has no balance. It's sheker. Sheker ain lo raglayim. Why is the kuf the letter of sheker? Because sheker brings you all the way down. You may use lies to elevate yourself and to be successful, but when the day is over, when everyone discovers the truth and they discover that you're a fraud, sheker, you are thrust down to the lowest levels of society. No one has respect for you, no one wants to know from you, you're cast down into the bar, tachtis. This world also is called Olam of Sheker. It's a world of falsehood. It's a Olam Hafach. Everything in this world is make-believe. It's Olam Hafach. Elyonim Lamata, Tachtonim Lamala. What appears to be, people who appear to be on the top in the Olam HaEmes are just the opposite. People in this world who are on the bottom in the Olam HaEmes, the opposite. This is an Olam of Sheker. Kuf represents this world. The Kuf extends down, meaning it's extending down into this lower world. Now, now that we know the letter kuf represents sheker, we understand why kuf is the word kuf, a monkey. What is a monkey? A monkey is the ultimate lie. The monkey is the most similar to a human being. But everything about a monkey is a dimyon. He looks like a human being. He acts like a human being. You can put him on. You can put him on a suit. You can get him. You can train him to drive a car.
He mimics a human being.
You can train a monkey. They just put a monkey in outer space, but there was also a lie. You read the article? The
Iranians.
They claim they sent the monkey into them. They send the monkey to outer space, but it was a lie. They never really sent the monkey. But a monkey is the equivalent. It looks like a human being. It acts, but it's a lie. It's a dimyon. There's no intelligence. He cannot properly function like a human being. That's why a kuf is a kuf. Kuf is sheker. The ultimate sheker in this world is dimyonis, a world of illusions. Oil, we have Aishai. Aishai said, Oili ki nidmesi. So one of the Amari Chazal, King Meza, I'm living in a world of illusion. I think I know what Kedusha is. My life is a lie. I think I'm a holy person. I live a life of Kedusha and sanctity. When I see the real thing, I see the Kisi HaKavod, I realize my life is a lie. What I do, the way I conduct myself, the way how I behave, compared to the MS, the truth of the Kedusha Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what a monkey is. It's a dimyon. He makes believe. Making believe is the ultimate lie. That's now, we come over here to Kuf. When Rivka saw that Esav is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so the Kuf is small, because it means to this Gemara. The Gemara says, after the Beis HaMikdash, we are like monkeys relative to our ancestors. Our ancestors who had a Beis HaMikdash lived a life of Kedusha, benefited from the Hashuas HaShchina, are like human beings relative to us who don't have this Shechina, do not have a Beis HaMikdash. We're like monkeys k'neged our ancestors. It's a Gemara, it's a Chazal. And therefore that's what Rivka is really saying, Katzi b'chayav b'nei b'nos ches. I see the time is going to come when Esav is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. There's some dispute between Yaakov and Esav. They're not getting along. Ma'esav sin labanan. This will result in Esav destroying the Beis HaMikdash. And the base, once there's no Beis HaMikdash, mankind will turn into monkeys. They will be lacking, the kuf will be diminished. They'll be lacking in kedusha and sanctity and dignity. They'll be like monkeys. In history, two times was man turned into monkeys. Dar Enosh and Dar Haflaga. It's a medish. See, the goyim think that we come from monkeys. It's just the opposite. It's true, just the opposite. Monkeys come from man. Hashem created Adam. Man was created in the image of God. And what happened? The Dar Enosh, they began to worship idols. So Hashem turned them into monkeys. The Dar HaFlaga, the Medrash says, you want to go rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'll turn you into monkeys. Monkeys come from man, not man comes from monkey. Koif is represents the concept, the diminishment, the Yuridus HaDoyros. That's why the letter Kuf is the only letter which goes down. The letter Kuf represents the concept of Yuridus HaDoyros. And in the big picture of things, the concept of the monkey is the concept of Yuridus HaDoyros. The goyim think the concept of the monkey represents man is superior. It's amazing how mamash and olam hafach. The goyim think we come from monkeys. We've advanced evolution. We've taken that giant leap. You all seen that poster, all different stages of man. It starts off as an ape, turns into a human being. It's just the opposite. Man, originally there was a man. Every generation we fall, we get lower and lower. Our dignity, our integrity, our sense of shame, our values gets lower and lower. We are going in the direction of the monkeys, just like we have precedent for this in previous times. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's talk about numbers. Now, this is good stuff. I like this is powerful stuff. This I saw from Yitzchak Ginsberg in his Sefer, the Hebrew Letters. The letter Kof is the 19th letter of the Aleph Beis. 19. We learned last week the letter Tzadi, Tzadik is Chai, 18. Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. But the letter Kof is the 19th letter. What is the significance of the number 19 in Jewish thought? 19 is the number of years of the lunar cycle. we have 28 years for the solar cycle. Every 19, the English date and the Hebrew date are the same. We follow a lunar solar cycle, so our birthday is the date of solar lunar. We merge them together, but the day a person is born, the Hebrew and English date will coincide once again 19 years later. That's because the cycle of the moon to come back to its position relative to the sun takes exactly 19 years. Well, how do we live our lives? We mekadesh al pi ri'ah. We live on based on the moon. We sanctify time. Kof on the one hand represents kedusha. Kof is kadosh. It's kedusha. We're going to disprove in a moment why kof is kedusha. We'll get to that. But kof is kedusha. Our life, our time in this world is meant to be dedicated for purposes of Kedusha. Our calendar is based on the moon. The moon is a 19-year cycle. These two go hand in hand. 19 is the letter Kuf. It's the 19th letter of the Aleph Beis. They're 19 years in the cycle of the moon, and therefore these two ideas represent concept of Kedusha. Now the letter Kuf, why is letter Kuf called represent Kedusha? So first of all, if you spell out the letter Kuf in the thinking of Rabbi Ginsburg are really two letters. It's letter Resh, right? Look at a Kuf. The top part is a Resh, and there is a Zayin that's hanging. That's what in the Sefer Torah. No, not a Vav. In the Sefer Torah, it's a Zayin. A Vav comes out on one side. A Zayin, it comes out in the center. In the Sefer Torah, Ksav Ashuris, you have to look in the Tikkun, Ksav Ashuris, a Kof is a Resh with a Zayin. Not a Vav, a Zayin. Again, a Vav comes out on one side. A Zayin, the leg is in the center. What do the letters Resh and Zayin spell? Well, it spells Roz, which means a secret, but also spells Zer, a crown. A Zer means more than just a crown, it means a boundary. What is a crown? A crown is something which is a boundary around the head. On the shulchan, there's a zer zav. On the shulchan, where else was there a zer zav? On the aron, was there a zer zav on the aron? Okay, on some of the kelim there's a zer. A zer is the boundary. Chazal say that whenever there's kedusha, there has to be boundaries. Gedarim, kedoshim to you, kol mokom sha'atel motzi geder, any place where you find safeguards. Chazal, Torah has instructed to erect safeguards. What are safeguards? Gedarim, boundaries. This you can do, this you can't do. Even though in our Torah you can do this, midrabanan, we do not want you to do this. We want to set up boundaries, you should not get closer. Kuf is made up of the letters Resh and Zayin, which spell Zer. Zer is the concept of a boundary. A boundary is something that you need in order to bring, to create Kedusha.
Same thing with Zar, like Zar is a boundary too.
A stranger. That means a stranger. Okay, it's okay. Now there's another example, because the Reish and Zayin, I lost it over here, but I think Reish and Zayin is the gematria of 207. 207 is the gematria of Geder. Right, the Kuf is the two letters, Reish and Zayin. Reish and Zayin equal 207. 207 is the gematria of a Geder. Kedusha is only found in a Mokoim where there are Gedarim, where there are safeguards. Person has to protect himself not to be Nichshol. That is how he adds Kedusha into his life. So we see this idea that the letter Kuf very much relates in its spelling, in the way it's made up, of the Resh and the Zayin, even its gematria, Zer and Geder. And the world of Kabbalah, he presents this idea, it's a very interesting idea, Rabbi Ginsburg presents this idea, that in the world of Kabbalah there are three letters which go together. The Lamed, the Kuf, and the Yud. Why do these three letters go together? What is unique in the Aleph Beis? Almost finished with the Aleph Beis. What is unique about these three letters? These are the only three letters that are not here and not there. The Lamed goes above the margin. It goes too high. It breaks out of its out of the line and goes all the way lamala. The kof breaks out of the margin, its line, and goes all the way lamata. The yud is suspended in midair. All the letters, they take up the entire space. They go from top to bottom. They're secure. They have a top and a bottom. Something is holding them. The yud is suspended. Who's holding up the yud? You need gravity that should fall down to the ground. It needs to stand on the bottom of the line. There's nothing holding up. The yud is suspended. So from the three letters that are neshunet, there are many ways to look at the aleph base. You can look at the aleph base in many different sets and pairs. But when you take all the 22 letters, the three letters which seem to violate all the rules, break all the rules, are the letters Lamed, Kuf, Yud. These three letters, the Balei Kabbalah, Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg says, represent the idea of Lishu'ascha Kivisi Hashem. So every time you say Lishu'ascha Kivisi Hashem, you have these the Rashi Tevos of these who yearn for your salvation. And he explains what the Tumin is, that the Lamed represents the yearning for spirituality, going to Shemayim. The Kof means your tafkid on this world. Two extremes. The Yud is the balance. Person, he comes from Shemayim, he wants to return to Shemayim, but he's been thrust down to this world, the Kuf, the Olam HaSheker, to fulfill its tafkid. And you have to synthesize the two, the Ruchnius, or the Gashmius, and the medium is the Yud. The Yud is what's suspended right in the middle, in between the, miraculously suspended between the Lamed and the Yud. Okay, a Kuf also represents, we're coming up to Megillah, coming up to Purim, Toikef. Toikef means intensity, power. 100, the gematria of Kuf is 100. Obviously, 100 represents a certainty of Shlemus. One, the word, the letter Kuf, the primary sound in the word Toikef, Esther wrote, is called Toikef Hoigeres Hazos. The full, intense power of this letter. Toikef is captured in the letter Kuf in the number 100. Now this is very interesting. If you add up all the letters of the Aleph base, the Misper Katan, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9 equals plus 10. Let's go plus 10. 45. 1 plus 2
plus 10 is 50.
No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Not 10 plus 1.
1 to 9 is
45. 1 to 9 is 45. I'm sorry. Misperkat. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9.
That's 40.
45. Now let's go to the next set. 10. Yud. But we're going to only count the misperkatan, which means drop the zeros. So you have 10, drop the 0, plus 20, plus 30. So that's basically 1, plus 2, plus 3, plus 4, plus 5, plus 6, plus 7, plus 8, plus 9 is another 45. So where are we up to? We're up to the letter Kuf, right? We've gone through all the letters until the first 19 letters. We're up to, no, it includes another 99. So now we have 100 dropped. So 45 plus 45 equals 90. Now we have Kuf is 100, Resh 200, Shin 300, Tuf. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 equals 10. So we have 90 plus 10 equals 100. It's amazing. When you add up all the letters of the Aleph base, all the letters of the Aleph base, the misper katan of the letters of the Aleph base equals 100. So in a certain degree, the letter Kuf is the end of the Aleph base. It represents, it's the shliach. When you want to send the Aleph Beis on a mission, you send the shliach, the letter Kuf. Because the letter Kuf, its numerical value, captures the entire Aleph Beis. Kuf represents the idea of beauty. Because 100 is completion. It represents the ultimate completion. 10 times 10. Completion. What is Yoifi? So, so beautiful Rashi Teva. So Ginsburg says, what is Yoifi? Yud Po'amim Yud. That's Yoifi. Beauty. What makes something beautiful? How do you define beauty? Look up in a dictionary. Look up in an encyclopedia. It's a very hard word to define. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? Well, what is really that? That's a vague description. What is beauty is when everything is there, and in its right place. That's the real definition of beauty. 100 represents true shleimus, true perfection. Everything is there in its right place. That's why the Beis Hamikdash is, the dimensions, Klilas Hayofi. Yerushalayim is called the perfection of beauty because of the Beis Hamikdash. And what is the Beis Hamikdash? What are the dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash? 100 by 100 by 100. A cube of 100, 100, 100. Because the shleimus of 100 is the perfection of beauty. Yud pa'amim yud. Yud is spiritual. Yud, the number 10, represents the completion. That's really the end of the numbers. Think about it. Because you go to 9, when you go from 20, from 10 to 90, you're just repeating the numbers again, just you're multiplying it by 10. So when you have the real true completion of the Aleph Beis, to a certain degree, is the letter Yud. Because everything else is just repeating. You're repeating the same concepts. Once you get to the number 10, you really finish the set. Be'asar ba'maros nevri ha'olam. Avim ha'ten nisyonos. 10 really represents the 10 spheros. 10 represents shleimus. When you multiply 10 by 10, wow, that is the ultimate. Look at sphera. Sphera is 7 times 7. Then there's a concept called 8 times 8. We once spoke about this, in between Purim and Lag Ba'Omer. Purim and Lag Ba'Omer are the two ends of Lamal Lamiderech HaTeva. How many days are there between Purim and Lag Ba'Omer? 64. 8 times 8. Just like between Pesach and Shulis, there are 7 times 7. In between Purim and Lag Ba'Omer, there's also sphera. 64 days. So you see this pattern, when you multiply something by itself, that brings out its intensity. The Aleph Beis ends to a certain degree with the letter Yud. When you multiply 10 by 10, you get 100. Again, 100 is the Shleimus of Yofi, Klilas HaYofi, Yud, Pa'amim, Yud. Okay, almost finished. Now the number Kuf, this is very interesting, the number Kuf also represents HaKadosh Baruch. Why? When you spell Kuf, Kuf equals 186. It represents the Magen David. Okay, some people they're in love with the Magen David. Kuf is 186. What is 186? It's 6 times Kel. It's 6 times Kuf Ash Aleph Lamed. Aleph Lamed, 31, multiplied by 6. Hashem is here, there. Hashem is all 4. Hashem is Lamal, Lamata, and the Dal Ruchos. So the letter Kuf, when you spell out Kuf, it was 186, it represents Hashem's presence. Kel, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is found in all 6 dimensions, all 6 sides of the world, which is really what the Magen David represents. Now Kuf also, this is very important, represents the gematria of Kuf, is the same gematria, 186, when you spell out Kuf, Kuf of Pei, is the same gematria as Makom, as place. As Makom, we have the same gematria, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kiddush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meloi Chol Aretz, is all over the world. Kuf also represents. I don't know what this means. I wrote this down. I can't figure out what I wrote down over here. Okay, Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu had Yitzchak when how old was he? 100 years old. Avraham reached his shleimus at the age of 100. What is lech lecha begematria? 100. So Avram reaches shleimus 100 when he had Yitzchak. In Pirkei Avos, when a person reaches 100, it's ki'ilu meis. It's as if he is already gone from the world. A person has only until 100 years until to achieve a shleimus. People, it's hard for people to deal with death. Very hard. They're not going to die. No one's going to die. You live forever. So you tell them, but people do not have a difficult time relating to things in their lifetime. Right, so tell a person, do tshuva. You have to tshuva because you're going to come, ach, ane v'eshrim, I can't relate to that. That's something which is a different realm, a different dimension. I can't relate to that. So okay, you don't have to think about death. It's just a matter of time. When a person is 100 years old, kilumeis. Just like you can relate that, and then 5 years from now, you're going to have the bar mitzvah, your grandchild, bar mitzvah, this one, that one, or this simcha. It's a matter of time. When a person is 100 years old, ki'ilu neis. So 100, it's a scary concept that 100, and even in time itself, where a person can, to a certain degree, relate to what lays ahead. 100 represents Yirah Shemayim. Mo Hashem Elokecha Sholmeimach Kim Li Yirah Oisei. Al Tikri Mo Ela Neya. 100. Kuf is Kedusha. Kedusha is synonymous with Yirah Shemayim. Every day after you say Hashem Elokechem Emes, V'yatzev, V'nochon, V'kayam, V'yosha, you say, we haven't discussed this, the 15 Vavs, the 16 Vavs, and then you come to, yeah, that equals 90, 15 times 6 is 90, 15 Vavs, and then Hadavar Hazeh, two more, which is 100. And that we have, that represents 100 brachos, represents that MS is also to some degree defined in terms of 100. And that is an interesting medrash. The lifetime Klal Yisrael is compared to an eagle. A nesher is not, nesher lives for 100 years. Now what's the life? There's a medrash. When we have a nesher, it's not the real nesher. A nesher can't be. There are different reasons why what we call an eagle cannot possibly be what the Torah defines as an eagle. But there's a very fascinating medrash which is quoted in different sources that it's always referred to here and there. The nesher, it lives for 10 years. And after 10 years, it has enough courage to fly. Once its desire is to fly to the sun. That's the yearning of the Nesher, to reach the sun, not the moon, and wants to travel to the sun. So after 10 years, it flies as high as it can go, as if it's trying to reach the sun, and then in exhaustion and in heat, when it gets too high, too much, too near the sun, it faints. It faints and collapses, falls all the way down into the yam, into the sea. And it rejuvenates. And it repeats the cycle 10 times. And every time it gets closer and closer to the sun. But on the 10th time, it actually makes it. On the 10th time, it has enough koyach, it goes all the way, but gets burnt. And is completely consumed and disintegrates into ash, and that's the end of its life. So there's such a medrash which explains that Klal Yisrael, a person's life to a certain degree, is like the nesher. You always have to keep on trying again, and eventually you'll get burnt. That's the real mashal. The real mashal. Eventually, you'll get burnt. We all know that to be, unfortunately, we all know that to be true. Okay, so I'm just about finished. Let me just review of my notes, make sure I got everything I wanted to tell you. Okay. There's one thing here. I have no clue what this means. All right.
We'll figure it out.
I like the way you turn the page up. Backwards and
forwards.
Okay, that pretty much covers the letter. Have a wonderful day.